Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And we are called to abide in him and allow him to abide within us. And I think a very powerful way that we can picture that, living out Jesus as our way, our truth, and our life, and this abiding, this mutual abiding, is by imitating him. The imitation of Christ is just a classic kind of Christian idea of what it means to be a disciple, what it means to follow the Lord. And this imitation is not just a surface-level thing, but it's a deep partnership with Jesus that is transforming for the one seeking to imitate him as our mind and our heart is brought around to the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus. And in that imitation then, and recognizing that partnership with him, there can be such a joy and a meaningfulness brought to life. St. Paul, in our second reading, is encouraging the Corinthians in their own way to be imitators of Jesus Christ, to be responsive to the graciousness that he's shown to them. St. Paul always had a lot of irons in the fire. You know, he had a lot of different things he was doing, whether it was off preaching or getting himself into trouble or starting new churches. One of the other things that he had a great passion about was supporting the Christians who were back in Jerusalem, the kind of original Jewish Christians who there suffered so much in their following of Christ. They experienced just the upheaval of Jerusalem itself. They also experienced themselves persecution for following Christ. And many times they would be disowned by family and friends and cast out from their community for their following of Christ. And so given that, St. Paul always had a heart for them. And so he would go to all the different churches that he had established and go to these Gentile Christians and ask them to support the Christians in Jerusalem. And he's making this kind of large collection that his helpers were starting to gather from the different communities so that they would support those Christians in Jerusalem. And what he's telling us in the second reading, what he's telling the Corinthians is that by their generosity in helping these suffering Christians, that they themselves would imitate and show themselves to be like Jesus Christ himself, who has been so generous to us. And so that's what Paul is referring to in our second reading, where he says, may you excel in this gracious act, this support of these Christians. May you excel in this gracious act also, for you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. You see, Jesus affects, he makes this incredible exchange with us. He takes on our poverty of weakness, of sin, of death, and in turn, then he gives us his riches of grace, of love, and of life. And so there is this calling that St. Paul puts before the Corinthians, before us, to reciprocate and be gracious, just as Jesus himself has been. And to do that not only as like a matter of justice, but also the matter of just finding the joy, the deep meaningfulness of living out of that deep goodness and love of Christ. And so being inspired by Jesus and how he has acted towards us and reciprocating that is, I think, a beautiful kind of dynamic way to think of that imitation of Christ. You know, that imitation, it's not, again, some superficial mimicry, you know, of I've got to have, you know, long hair and I got to switch out my foot gear to sandals or something like that, right? You know, there's a much deeper imitation that we're thinking of. It's where, by God's grace, we take on the mind and the heart of Jesus so that we know what he knows, we care about what he cares about, and thus, out of that, then we act as he does. St. Paul urged this of the different Christian communities. He told the Philippians, you know, have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. And he explains them how to have that mind of Christ. He tells the Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And again, this is not just you've got the right content, but is your mind and your heart truly with Jesus and in his gracious way of being towards us? This imitation of Christ is, first of all, a grace from God. But then, on our part, it's also a task of Christian maturity to really choose and to grow into being more and more like Christ. Of course, we can only do that if we know who Jesus Christ is, if we have a knowledge of him, but also if we have this relationship with him, if we commune with him in our lives, in our prayer. And we're aided in that by the grace of the sacraments, by the revelation of scriptures, by what the church authentically teaches us about Jesus. And so this is, I think, a beautiful way to describe the high calling we have, this imitation of Christ. So let's take a case study. Let's take an example. Like, how do we do this, right? And so let's go to the gospel. And I think it's a good case. So what do we have in the gospel? We have Jesus who comes with the superabundant life and the love of God, and look at all that he does. Of course, probably the most conspicuous things we see are, wow, he cures that long-afflicted woman, healing her as she simply touches his clothing. We have Jesus raising this 12-year-old girl from the dead. But we also have Jesus doing other great and gracious things. He encourages people to faith. Daughter, your faith has saved you. Or encouraging the synagogue official, you know, do not be afraid, just have faith. So he is calling people out of living in fear and instead living by faith. And then simply his disposition to whatever happens. You know, he crosses the sea and then boom, you know, the synagogue official runs up and he goes to start to help his family. And then, wow, the lady touches his clothes and he starts, you know, talking with her about the healing she just received. And, you know, he's just available to the one in front of him. I'm always kind of sympathetic for that synagogue official, like what he must have been feeling. His daughter is like on the brink of death. And here Jesus just stops. He's just talking to this lady like, I'd be dying, you know, going crazy. Like, come on, let's get to my house, you know. And but Jesus is just present to the ones in front of him, responding to who his Father has placed before him and responding to the needs of people right then and there. So it's a pretty powerful and kind of wild episode of what Jesus does there. You know, how are we to imitate something like that? Well, on one level, Christians have indeed imitated Jesus in his miraculous ways. We have the apostles themselves who, after Pentecost, you know, would go out and there'd be incredible miracles of healing, things that even happen while they're still with Jesus, but especially dramatically after receiving the Holy Spirit. There's one episode where people in Jerusalem were just trying to bring out the sick out onto the street so that if the shadow of Peter fell upon them, they would be healed. Incredible. And then we have Paul and the great works that happened through his life as well. And he would say in that Christ lives in me, that I can do all things through him who strengthens me, including the miraculous. And miracles do accompany the church in every age. We see that with saints, the saints of the most recent times and the most ancient, but also in regular Christians praying in faith. Many times there are beautiful manifestations of God's love in miraculous ways. And indeed, we had the announcement last week, the promotion page out in the gathering space about a documentary called Fearless that we'll have on July 10th about kind of a training school to be open to how God might want to work miraculously through your prayer and through your being involved in helping other people. It's called Encounter Ministry. So there is that level, right, of how we can imitate Christ. But nevertheless, I think we can look into that gospel and it can help us see how even our more kind of regular disciple activity is such a beautiful way of imitating Jesus right there in the gospel. And so maybe it isn't a miraculous cure, but certainly as disciples, we can imitate Jesus in sharing God's life and healing through our compassionate care of others. You'll hear that so beautifully in Sister Mary Pauline's testimony of how we bring God's love into a hard situation, or maybe even more literally, being a Eucharistic minister, going to visit the sick and the homebound and bringing Jesus to them. There's many different ways that we can share God's life and healing with others. And just as Jesus encouraged the synagogue official to not be afraid, just to have faith, well, so too we can be encouraging of people to live by faith rather than kind of trapped in fear, especially if we've made that switch ourselves. And then, just as Jesus had this responsiveness to what God the Father and His providence was putting before Him that moment, we too can respond to the needs before us. However God has arranged us to encounter people, to be in people's lives, you know, we can be that same responsive instrument of the Father as Jesus chose to be. And that can be in very even small little things, interactions in family life, of doing those gracious acts, thinking how I want to be abundant in my love as Jesus has been towards me, or in work and how I do that work and how I interact with others, or maybe how I bear others, and just how I might deal with people I randomly meet. And of course, in the parish itself, there are so many different ministries that I know often are looking for help, you know, to help bring about the good things the Lord wants to do here. We have many, many great and generous parishioners who do that, who take that step forward, imitating Christ with, as St. Paul calls them, these gracious acts. But also there are many people who still kind of stand on the sidelines. And we're deprived of how maybe Jesus wants to work through them. And they can be deprived of the great joy of that. And so, Do you see the opportunities before you of how you can, as St. Paul says, excel in these gracious acts, bringing the goodness of Christ forward? You know, with a real awareness of that and doing that, you're kind of giving a return to Jesus and how good He has been to you out of love for Jesus and even experiencing His closeness in the midst of these gracious acts to be able to say, like St. Paul, Christ is alive in me. And so I think there's a need for us to attune our vision with faith to the drama of grace, the opportunity of grace right there in front of us. I think maybe sometimes, with all sincerity, we can be very focused on avoiding the commission of sins, which of course we want to avoid committing sins. But I think sometimes there's a blind spot to, well, how am I missing out on the commission of acts of love and mercy like Jesus? And so there are many great and beautiful things, you know, the Lord calls us to. And if you're hesitant about that, maybe you need to push into why is that? You know, is it like maybe the word of Jesus to you is don't be afraid, have faith, take a step forward. So many times hear people, oh, I couldn't do that. Okay, a lot of words I just had to edit out. That's ridiculous, you know? Of course you can. You can do all things with Him who strengthens you. So you can't hide just behind fear. And maybe we get distracted by things, but maybe those things, you know, as we really look at the eternal order of grace, aren't as important as we sometimes think they are. So I think the question for us is, how can each of us be and act like Jesus, and like Jesus right there in the gospel? Or as St. Paul would put it to the Corinthians and to us, what are the gracious acts that I can do to imitate and respond to Jesus' graciousness to me? Now, admittedly, our second reading, what St. Paul was speaking about, in particular at that point was he was fundraising. He was raising funds from these different communities to support other Christians. And I readily acknowledge with incredible gratitude the generosity of our parishioners and that sustained generosity through projects, through the offertory, year after year. There are so many generous people and households that we have in our parish. But still, I think in some way or another, we are all called to action as well, to bring our vital energy forward with Jesus. Because the reality, the good but also challenging reality, is that Jesus wants to be alive in you. And he wants to love others right through you. And so may we be open to that great calling to imitate Jesus, to imitate him in his graciousness, to be open to that deep partnership with Jesus in doing that, and through that then to know more fully simply the joy, the meaningfulness of living out of the great goodness and the love of Christ.